Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, about to break is New Year's resolution to stop getting it on. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. I'm just going to get on mandate. Get it on. Thank you for another great year. And thanks for queuing up another great year as we go into our 10th year. I'll give you some very interesting statistics on this show. I just found out. First, good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
We're back, baby. We're back.
So much to discuss. We'll all kind of give a little State of the Union. We'll all give a little what we did over the holidays, and we'll get everyone sort of caught up on where we've been and where we're going. I want to thank Lowe's for this half of the show at Lowe's.com/Adam. Blue Chew at BlueChew.com. Enter Adam. And MedMen at MedMen.com. Enter Adam. I just got back from Maui very late last night. God, it's insane how incredibly crowded LAX can be at like 12:45 at night. Yeah. Like you just go, what's everyone doing? I mean, it's a mess. LAX is a mess. And there are things we could do, but I'll get into that later. First, the thing about vacations and the thing about traveling is the destination is fine. And the part where you stay at the most beautiful resort in Maui and you got the room service and the spa treatments and everything, that's all fine. But it's really hard to pay your way out of the general pop when it comes to the airport.
Yeah, that's part of the experience.
Now,
I can make a break.
I get the part where people go, well, then take a private jet to Maui. I'm not going to spend $60,000 to
well,
do
Rockefeller.
Something I could do for $2,500 for the whole family all in. But so I just go to the airport, get in line, do whatever I have to do with everyone. But now it's always a little more intense because there are the kids and there's the wife. And I'm used to traveling. Me and Mike August, we're like a Mark Wahlberg film where the two guys from SEAL Team 8 get trapped behind whatever. Like, I'll just look at him and give the look, Cinnabon, two, go.
Yeah.
And then
o'clock.
He'll go. And the
he'll make the alligator sign for him, and he knows to go forward.
Also, there is a thing, that there is a guy wiring that all women should adopt, which is,
listen up, women.
Nobody from SEAL Team anything after one of the copters went down and caught a propeller blade outside of Bin Laden's compound went to the other SEAL Team guy, breach the wall now. No other guy went, watch your tone.
There's a nicer way to ask that. Yeah,
there's something going on.
I can.
Or you can just breach the wall.
Are you telling me or are you asking me?
Yes.
Breach that wall, please, is what you meant to say?
I just want to say to all women, we're in a combat situation. Please understand that people are going to speak in short term and you shouldn't get your feathers in a ruffle. Every woman I've ever been with, I've did the, go call the guy now. And they've got, hey,
excuse
watch,
you.
Bring your voice down. It's like, okay.
I love that's how you look at vacation. Combat situation.
It's a combat zone. The LAX. So it's a weird thing because I would yell at Mike August, like, go to kiosk now. I'll be behind. But
copy that.
When it comes with your family, I have to kind of go, yeah. Hey, you know what'd be awesome?
Hey, here's an idea.
Just floating it out there.
So
I want to get your take on.
We have this great, we don't even, I'm always sort of looking for, like, how early can this trip get fucked up? Like, how early can we fuck
Again,
this trip up?
Vacation.
Dream big.
How early can we fuck this vacation up? And it starts, as Loverboy would say, at the start. We get dropped off. Kaylin, who's house watching, house sitting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, I got some news for Kaylin as far as house sitting goes.
Oh, shit.
It's interesting. I'll get into that in a second. I'll just let him stew.
Twist so, in the wind.
So we get dropped off. Kaylin dutifully drops us off. We're in Lynette's Uber X. And not Uber X, sorry. We got to start from the start.
From the start.
We're in her Tesla X.
Right.
We get dropped off. And we're all going to check our bags in. Now, I'm lean and mean. I never have to do that. But if everyone's going to check their bags, then why am I toting around my bag?
Did you take more than a backpack?
I took a back. I had a. Well, I have. I take a full bag and a backpack. And the reason I take the full bag is half my stuff and then half whatever shit everyone else needs to.
Sure.
Hey, can I catch a ride? Yep. Come on a ride back to LA with my toiletry bag or whatever it is. So that's fine. We're then checking in everything. And we're not up against it, but I don't get to the airport earlier than I need to, but we're fine. But at a certain point, with the last bag checked in, which is Sonny's bag, the woman behind the counter has a issue. Now, the issue also, could we get some, like, just shit-kicking dudes in these positions? Some dudes where you could go, like, come on, man. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't. There was just sort of 50-something-year-old women of color, and you can't really come at them too hard because it's essentially a hate crime.
Yeah.
And
you can't come on, bro, them.
Yeah, you can't do the come on, bro. Like, where's the guy played a little tight end on JC Junior College and now has found his way to the Delta security, whatever, and you can go, come on, man, I got my old fucking lady here.
He walked out of Washington State. He didn't start, but he got a Rose Bowl ring.
There's none of that. There's always just sort of semi-proud woman of color, and you can't really come at her with anything, and they can't do me a solid, bro. Because you're not her bro. She goes, yeah, I got a problem with this suitcase. So all the bags are checked, and then Sonny's suitcase, and we got a problem.
Okay.
And I go, what's the problem? And she goes, it's got a battery. And I go,
is it like a charging suitcase?
Yes, it's a charging suitcase. And I go, oh. And she flips the lid up on the charge, and she flips a little lid up by the handle, and there's three ports. There's just like the phone jack one, and the Cat 5 one, and the USB one. There's four, and it's a flat piece of black plastic with three ports. And I said, yeah. And she said, yeah, can't come on the plane.
What?
And there must be five of those on every flight.
Yeah. What's the big deal?
Well, right. If this was the ex junior college tight end dude, I would have went, come on, bros.
2 minute drill.
Right. So she goes, yeah, can't come on. And I said, why not? She said, because it's got the battery in it. What? We can't come on with the battery. And I said, and she goes, why don't you just, do you have the key for the battery? And I go, no, I don't know what the key is. I'm looking at a faceplate. The faceplate just looks like a solid black faceplate with three inputs into it, all stuff familiar, but no place to put the key.
Right.
No, you know.
No way to pop it off.
There's no, like, finger pop thing or depress this and pop this off. And there is no Allen bolt and there is no Phillips head. There's just nothing. It's just a faceplate.
You know why? No company would invest the time and money in inventing and developing and producing a thing that is designed to go on airplanes if it couldn't go on airplanes.
Right.
That's absurd.
So I say, well, I don't get it. And she keeps saying, well, where's the key? Where's the key? Then this one. This is the part that makes traveling with the family great.
The key.
The key is...
The key.
There's also a key, like an old school gold skeleton type key for the little lock that goes on the thing. In which case, now Lynette chimes in. Oh, there's a key for the lock. And then I go... Not that key. That's just a little miniature padlock key. This is a key that somehow unlocks. It doesn't look like a key. It's something that you turn
that unlocks something.
And then 4.5 minutes later, when the woman says for the 23rd time, do you have the key? Lynette then chimes in for a third time. Oh, I have.
Right
there
here.
Was a key. And I have to go, not that key. Not that key. That's a little lock. That's a little padlock. There's no place to put it. And so she goes... well, then we can't take it on the plane. And then, so now time's a-wasting. Again, we don't leave ourselves a ton of padding. And now a lot of discussions. Lynette wants to buy a piece of luggage.
She wants a piece of your heart.
Yeah. She wants to go find a piece of luggage to buy.
Right.
She's like, I'm going to go to the Caesar's gift shop in Vegas and get some Tumi luggage. And I go, what? No, we're at LAX. And she goes, yeah, but it's 30% more expensive over there. And I go, no, no, if we have to do it, we'll do. We'll get gouged
but
here.
It's well lit.
You're not hearing me.
Those are LED lights.
So I'm thinking about buying a piece of luggage
and
at the airport.
Abandoning the old luggage?
Well, presumably.
I'm thinking this through, like, just at that point. Just
there's
like
no
a
locker.
Snake, like a snake with a skin?
I don't, yes, we're molting, I think they call it.
Yes, molting.
So I don't know what to do. So
is there room in other bags to divvy?
We're trying to figure out, do we take everything out of Sonny's bag, leave the bag, divvy the bag? I then have this conversation, which is now my new favorite conversation to have with other adults, which is, I then say to the nice lady behind the counter, Delta, after, there's two moves. This part drives me nuts, too, where I go, I don't know, can you ask your supervisor or something? It's just a kid's suitcase.
It's a suitcase made by a suitcase company.
I don't know how to get the battery out. I'm looking at the top. There's no, I also have no key. I'm not familiar with it. Well, the key should be with it, she says.
Well,
I go, I don't know where it is. So now it has to go full key. Stone cops. Lynette has to open the bag on the floor, of course. Now, we do the move that all you ass wipes need to do in 2019. Please make this your New Year's proclamation. Pull your ass out of line when you're having a problem.
Yeah.
So many people just go, I'm settling it long form right here in front of everyone else who's waiting to get on the plane.
If it steers, it clears. If you unpack, step back.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Come on.
Come on.
If you have to unpack, step back.
So I'm like, look.
I'm out of here, you guys.
I feel like we got blindsided here. We also waited in line to get to the kiosk to check in the bags, but I'm a human being, and I'm going to step us out of line so that other travelers who are hustling who don't have batteries in their suitcases can get on board and check. So we get out. So now Lynette is comically opening the suitcase and then tearing out all of the junk in the suitcase, looking for the key that presumably comes with the suitcase,
sure.
But we're not aware. Probably do a third or fourth lap on the key versus the padlock skeleton key versus the other key that do that, tears everything apart, can't find anything. Now we're starting to talk about the possibility of abandoning the suitcase. I then do the move where can you talk to your manager and ask the manager? You have that thing where you have to interpret body language
yeah,
where they go
like
and talk
that.
To the other guy and the guy's like, huh?
Arms crossed.
Well, we got to, oh, no. We God damn it. She comes back. No. Not going to help. So now we're thinking, okay, do we start taking everything out of the suitcase and spreading it out amongst the other suitcase? By the way, everything else has been checked. This is the last.
It's on the belt.
This is the last bag. Natalia, who just isn't helpful, is the one who's like stands there and is going, come on, we're going to miss the plane. Come on, we're going to miss the plane. Yeah. And you go, you, quiet, let us finish this. And then that'll buy you 21 seconds before she goes, we're going to be late.
Yeah, like, she has a lot of anxiety around that
stuff. Yeah, she just stands there and makes everyone nuts.
She's the character in the movie that only exists to create tension.
Right.
And you want to die first.
Right. Right.
My God, Brian.
And
she's the Alan Ruck in Speed.
She's the hot blonde in a horror movie.
The problem with me is my mood and move with this is she will drive Lynette nuts. And so I do a move where I go, you go on and meet us in the lobby, like wherever we are. Like, go ahead and meet us in the lobby. Go ahead and then
get away from us.
Then Lynette will stop and go, what are you sending her in the lobby alone for? And then he'll go, okay. And then 10 seconds later, she goes, when are we going to leave? And then Lynette will go, will you shut up already? You're driving me nuts. And I'm going, yes, I'm getting her out of the way. Because she will just stand there and just keep sounding the alarm as to why we're running late. So now we're tearing the bag apart. Can't do it. The woman is looking at us. And then
no sympathy.
Quizzically.
My favorite conversation of all time, which is I say, and this is my new favorite. And I don't know if you guys are noticing more and more of this in life. I go, well, okay, hold on. What if I just take the baggage through security? Can I take the baggage through security? And she goes, oh, yeah, sure. And I go,
what?
Okay, I'll just take it through security. And then she pauses and she goes, but you can't get on the plane.
What is happening?
I swear to God, how many times have you heard this version of this in just the last like year and a half where people, like, if I had a little more breath in my lungs, I'd scream, what the fuck are you talking about?
Feels like Impractical Jokers.
What are you talking about? I can't tell you how many of those answers I get. I used to get one of those every 7 years. I now get three of those a day where it's like, okay, what do you think I'm asking?
Everything's the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. It's your own birthday.
So she's like, yeah, you can go through security.
Just,
yeah. She can't get on the airplane. And I'm like, I didn't even know. By the way, I don't know where to begin with this. I can't. Normally, I would go back and break down this this insane conversation we're having. But now Lynette and Natalia screaming, "Let's go! Yeah. Let's go!
They're
let's
shopping
go!"
For luggage.
And you're lucky, sweetheart. I'm in a goddamn rush. I did what Javier Bardem did when he went to the trailer park,
yeah.
And he had that little piggy lady going, "Did you not hear me? I don't give information out on guests." And he was like. Then he hears the toilet flush, and that was Natalia going, "We're running late." And I was like, "Okay, let's keep moving." So
you brushed with death.
She goes. At a certain point, she's staring at us, tearing the luggage apart and doing everything. And she goes, "Now all the clothes and everything are out on the floor,
on the pristine floor at LAX."
Yes, again,
dog shit everywhere.
Thank you, Al Qaeda. And thank you, dumb people. Thank you, dumb government.
A lot of praise to go around.
Yeah.
Who can't discern. And thank you, all pussies who don't want to profile. Mm-hmm. All you fucking non-profiling heroes. This is what you create. A fucking stressful clusterfuck at every airport around the country times a million when it's totally unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It's completely and utterly unnecessary. But thank you, heroes. There shall be no more profiling. And we'll have just one gate and we'll all pass through it. Mm-hmm. You can be the Corolla family. You can be the new face of Al-Qaeda. You can be Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. You are all going through the same fucking metal detector. Awesome. It's an awesome utopia you fucking do-gooders have created for everybody. It's kind of the essence of dumb because it's imposed on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I say she's looking at us. She's kind of feeling sorry for us. And she keeps going, "There should be a key in there."
Okay.
And I'm just
established.
I've never opened the suitcase before. I have no idea what's in it. Sonny's trying to be helpful. It's not really. She's like, "That was it." Lynette brings up the skeleton key for a 55th time.
You guys,
and
good
at some
news.
Point, we empty the whole thing out. We just sort of splay it open and put it in front of her. And she unzips the lining. And when she unzips the lining of the bottom of the suitcase, it exposes the battery pack, not the removable battery pack, just the battery pack sticking out from underneath
the house.
And I go, "That's it. That's the battery." And she's like, "That's it." And I go, "Can't travel with the battery." And she goes, no. And I just grab it and I just start fucking ripping on it. Now, I start going at it like the Samsonite monkey, like the gorilla in the Samsonite commercial. I'm like, just like, "God damn it!" Like, I'm so pent up. I'm like, and I bust like one ear off, and now there's just that one other ear.
Dangling,
and I'm like frantically, I skin my knee. I'll show Gina Grad. It's funny.
Oh, God.
It ends up, it's not bad, but it ends up getting a little infected and stinging me the entire time I'm in the salt water.
It's a little tetanus-y.
I remember that night just laying in bed, like at the hotel, at the most beautiful facility there. And I'm like rolling around at night, and I'm like, "God, man, my knee's really stinging me." And I thought, oh, yes, because I was on my knees earlier today. And I cut my hand. So I'm bleeding on my hand, and I skin my knee because I'm down in my shorts, like wrestling with this suitcase on the ground like a mad person.
This is a first world airport you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. There's my – well, we'll put the pictures up on appcurl.com. Lynette took a picture of my wrist, which was cut open and bleeding, and my knee because I was like, fuck it, like adrenaline. You know the adrenaline that moms have when the kids are trapped under the station wagon? That's what I had with this goddamn bag and the fucking battery. So I was like – I grabbed it. I just started tearing at it. I popped the one end loose. I was like, "Yeah, God damn it. God." And I just snapped off the other end.
The woman off camera, "There should be a key."
And she's standing there, and I pull the fucking whole pack out. And I'm like, you know, with the screws ripped out and the plastic broken and everything. And I go, "Here you go. Throw it away. Put the bag on the conveyor belt. We're leaving." And she goes, "You don't want to keep the battery?"
Okay.
So no, hard. I don't want the battery.
I can't get on the plane with it. What am I going to do with it?
I don't want the battery. She goes, oh, okay, you don't want to take the battery? I go,
your funeral.
No, I don't want to take the battery. I want to just get on the plane. They're jacked. Their phone charger's on every plane now. So the thing in terms of the luggage, he's going from the lounge, which has a jack in it, to the airplane, which has a charging jack in it, the Uber has a charging jack in it, to a resort that has nothing but charging.
More than 4 feet from a jack.
Right, and his phone is fully charged. We don't need what's coming off the thing.
And who's he calling?
Right, so okay. I pull it off, and I hand her. I go, throw it away. Now throw it away. And she's like, you don't want it? I go, no, I don't want it. She goes, oh, okay. And I go, just throw it away. And she goes, well, you can take it with you.
Oh, my God.
And I go, well, you can? And she's like, yeah, you just take it with you through security and then, you know, put it back on the thing. I go, no, I just ripped it off. I broke it. I tore it off. Okay. You don't want it? I go, no, throw it away. Just throw it away. She goes, okay. I guess you don't want it. And I was like, now I'm vexed. Like, now we're going through security. And I'm like, what the fuck? What do you mean? She kept handing me, going, take it. You want it? You want it? Take it. I have one thought and one thought only. The only thing I could cobble together is, like, your computer and cell phone need to go in, like, a separate basket or something. Like, you can't take your cell phone and pack it with your luggage.
You can't
take
your,
like, take your computer and put it in a separate basket. I'm guessing you can pull the battery out. Put it in
a
separate
detachable faceplate for an old, you know, car stereo or something like that.
But yeah, put it in a separate basket, go through security, and reunite it with your suitcase.
Again, my guess is she's not explaining. Well, obviously she's not explaining well, but this is a company that makes suitcases. They would be out of business in a day if their suitcase could not be brought onto a plane.
Yeah, these suitcases are becoming very common, by the way. So, what are we doing?
The person behind the counter, and this is another one of those things, they're always really tight-fisted with the information. If they had simply said, here's the situation, just like your cell phone or your laptop computer, unfortunately, it has to go through separately.
This is a separate device. It has to come out.
When it's attached to the suitcase, it's a tantamount to putting, not that she would have ever used that word, it is equivalent to you putting your cell phone in your suitcase and trying to pass it along. Yeah. So I know this sounds weird, but you pull it out, you put it in the little basket with your cell phone, it goes through security, then you can plug it back in. That's why I'm looking for the key.
But then your blood pressure would have stayed the same. So what's the fun
That's
of that?
Right. I could never figure out what you're saying. And then also the whole part about bringing the whole suitcase to security and not getting on the plane
also
was another
an option.
Was another interesting one for me. So that's how it started.
So how's Hawaii?
I cut myself. I skinned my knee. And we took off.
Then you went on vacation.
When we landed, so we didn't get through LAX or through the Hawaiian, Maui airport without incident. I'll tell you that in a second. First, I'll tell you about...
Were there many stories from vacation?
We haven't even stepped on soil yet.
Craftsman. Lowe's. New home for Craftsman, including their new V20 cordless power tool. Line up, everybody. One battery system. Oh, boy. This is a battery I do like. I wouldn't have told her to throw away this battery. The system works for multiple products. 2, 4, 6, 8 tool combination kits available. All with the 2-amp high-capacity lithium battery that works with all the tools in their V20 lineup. Runtime, power, it's all there, man. Brushless tools they have available are the V20 Max Brushless Drill, the V-Max Impact Driver. Impact Driver, game changer. Game changer. I know. I used to say that about the Random Orbital Sander, but there's a new sheriff in town, and it's the V-Max. Impact Driver, V20 Max Drill, hammer drill it is. Proudly made in the U.S. of A, everybody. And you can find out all about your Craftsman products at Lowe's.com/Adam. Lowe's.com/Adam. Some point, we got onto the plane. We took the plane. The problem is I was walking away trying to make sense of the battery and why didn't she want to take the battery on the plane and all that kind of stuff. That took me about 45 minutes to figure that, to try to calm down from that. Landed.
Before you land, sorry. Where do the kids sit on the plane?
On the way out, Lynette and I sat in first class. The kids sat in coach. And on the way back, we all sat in coach.
Mm-hmm. I think kids should always sit in coach.
Flew out, I agree, with Sal and Cousin Sal and his family, and Daniel and his family, Daniel Kelson, Uncle Buzzaboot, Danny Two Sheets, got there a little before us.
A lot of names for this guy.
I know. And when we got to the Maui airport, now becomes a sort of all the kids and getting all the bags together and all the kids' bags together. And waiting by the carousel, and we got the drivers and the van and all that kind of stuff. And we'll take a quick break, and I'll tell you a chapter two airport-to-airport saga right after this.
Corolla Drinks invites you to a very classy event in 2019, the 10E Booze and Book Club, with me, Mike Dawson. Some have said they'd pay me to read the phone book, so get your tickets now to hear me read chapters from Left of Boom, January 8th, with CIA Special Agent Douglas Laux. Ghost, February 7th, with FBI Undercover Agent Michael R. McGowan. Up on Game, March 7th, with former bank robber Richard Stanley. The Miracle Man, April 2nd, with minister, singer-songwriter, and author Buck Storm. The Pact, May 9th, with former Army Green Beret combat medic, Sergeant Robert Patrick Lewis. Mistrial, June 7th, with attorney Mark Garrigus. Each event will feature a live reading with me, followed by a question and answer period with each author, and a reception with a Mangria signature cocktail. Buy the entire series and get six shows for the price of five. For tickets, follow at Corolla Drinks and at Dos Angeles. Tickets also available at 10E in downtown Los Angeles. Or email Dawson at AdamCarolla.com. Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club. Get it on in 2019.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Beaver Township, Ohio. A 36-year-old woman was caught soliciting sex from an undercover officer in the parking lot of a Mexican restaurant. The woman stated she would provide sex for $60 and a plate of nachos. Definitely not a Jew.
We landed in the airport in Maui. We had a driver. Everyone was feeling good, but it was a long travel day. Everyone was waiting by the baggage carousel, pulling off all the kids' stuff, pulling off all the adult stuff.
Bags with faces ripped off.
That's right. We got everything
has a hole in it.
Loaded up, got into the van, started about a half hour drive to the resort we're staying in.
And you've been to this resort before?
Never have.
No. What part of the island?
That's a good question. It's Maui, and it's by the Four Seasons. It's called the Andaz. It's really nice.
Oh, the
nice.
Andaz. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Andaz.
Yeah, I think that's Wailea.
Brian's grandmother would say Andaz.
Andaz. And actually, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Andaz, and it's really nice.
Resort.
It's beautiful.
World class.
And then we get about to the airport. I think we get to the Andaz, and driver runs around, and we start unloading, and Lynette announces she doesn't have her bag.
Oy vey.
Which means it's on the carousel.
Oh, no.
And it was never removed from the carousel. Now, whatever the next journey then begins, which is, hey, driver guy, who's a big fan of mine and a nice guy, and used to work at Ford, and we were talking about Fords and Willow Run and where they built the bombers and all the good stuff. And I think he told me, watch my 24-hour war movie and blah, blah, blah.
On your side.
Nicest guy in the world. And he he announces that, well, he goes back to the airport like all the time. And then we go, oh.
Perfect.
How convenient.
How about a nice tip for you to go back to the airport, and then you can get the bag, and then you can bring it back here? And he goes, I'd love to, but they won't give me the bag.
Oh, right.
Someone's got to, of course.
Right. And now the odyssey begins.
Yep.
The phone calls, the stress. And, you know, my thing is like, yeah, this is why people need to be super diligent about getting their bags off the carousel. Now, to be fair to Lynette, kids, stress, new bag, yeah. I guess. But everyone needs to do a move where you pat yourself down. Like, before you leave the restaurant, you pat yourself down for wallet, earbuds, mm-hmm. phone, whatever it is. Before you jump into the back of that Uber, uh-huh. whatever it is, especially if you got a little buzz on from first class okay. or whatever, you need to, like, stop and pat down. Like, if you have your bags, you need to make sure you have – you need to, like, stop.
Is it not a very am I the only one that would find it a very, very strange feeling to be walking out of an airport to a car with nothing?
Yeah, the only thing I could think of was, did you just pile all the bags on a cart or something? Not everyone was responsible for their own bag.
Yeah, it's a little clusterfucky. There's a couple of carts. There's okay. a couple of drivers. Okay, there's okay. other – there are kids running around.
There's other
people.
Families. Okay.
Yeah, no. Lynette – if this was her traveling alone, should be institutionalized. Right. Now it's just like her putting a drunk tank
bags.
For like yeah. 72 hours sure. or 5150 or something like that. Yeah, I'm not just like a sort of Otis from Mayberry. Just like a kind of overnight stay versus institutionalized.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lesson could be learned. But then we get back and nope. And then we start getting into the, look, is it stuff you can wait till tomorrow morning? Like, do you need, the toiletry bag and all the stuff's in there? We need
kidding.
It tonight.
There's two other ladies.
There's no way.
Right. So I do the, have at it. Because my new policy is just, okay, that's a road you've chosen in life. You may go down that road. I've chosen another road, and I shall be eating sushi and getting
I'll
drunk.
I'll be on the road to Hana.
Right. So I think on the phone. Now, ultimately, I'm going to pay for it. But she got the driver to call the guy on hold for a million years, of course.
Right.
You know, the same old, all the frustrations and everything. At some point, reunited with the bag and off to the resort we were. The Maui was found out, and you guys were here, and so I'm kind of curious about this. But right as we were leaving, I get the story of, Howie Mandel's there, and he wants you guys to hop on his catamaran again.
Ooh,
and
round
I said,
two.
I thought I talked to Howie Mandel about that when he was in here some weeks earlier, and I said, you going to Maui this year? And he said, I'm going to Mexico. Which now, Maxipat, you got to go find that because it's driving me a little nuts. I was like, oh, all right, well, I guess we'll miss you this year or something like that. And I talked to Howie, and Howie's like, oh, no, Maui, Mexico was Thanksgiving.
Oh.
But somehow we got our wires crossed a little, and he probably thought I was asking, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And
right.
I was asking, we going to see you again right. in Maui. Either way, as luck would have it, Howie's there, and he's got the catamaran again, and we... It's me plus 11 as a guest on Mandel's catamaran, which is funny.
Does that say plus one? That should say plus one.
One.
We outnumber the amount of guests that he has on the catamaran,
wow.
which is awesome.
That's a real social roll of the dice when you do that.
But it was great. It was the next morning, so we all went out on the catamaran. There's a picture of...
Yeah,
Danny Two Sheets and Cousin Sal and me and Howie. The reason Howie's making the face Howie's making is because Danny Two Sheets, he likes to, in general, but especially after a couple of cocktails at sea, likes to regale people with stories. And the story he chose was to discuss with Howie Mandel me urinating in the sink.
Oh, no.
And
of the boat?
We didn't get into that, although the mind always does wander because you start thinking, okay, so that's your policy.
Yeah.
Is it your policy in international waters? Is it your policy on airplanes? Is it your policy when you're staying at my apartment? So he started getting into Adam likes to whiz in the sink and then just sort of kept going with it. I tell him to shut up. Because
any regular person would be appalled. Howie is going to jump
Howie's
off the boat.
Howie's going nuts. And the more nuts Howie went, the more Danny Two Sheets piled on. Later on, that led to a conversation, which was, thank you once again, Daniel, which is then the next day at the hotel, like Lynette was like, I smell pee coming from my sink. Were you peeing in my sink? I'm like, well, first off, we have two separate sinks. So
that's my
that would be
sink.
Quite a feat. That,
I would have to be wired a certain way to walk over to your sink and pee in it and then walk back to my sink and brush my teeth.
Territorial.
Yeah, I'm crazy, but I'm not insane. Also, no, I didn't. This, these sinks were not made for pissing, as Nancy Sinatra would say. Some are better than others, but also I get it. Once the seed was planted times 22 times on the catamaran, now you come back to your sink and you think you're smelling something. So we're on the catamaran, and Danny was explaining to Howie how I like to whiz in all the sinks, and how he was like dry vomiting in his mouth, and in a funny way, but he was clearly upset about it. Now, at some point, it turned into me regaling Howie with these peeing in the sink stories, but untrue. I did not bring it up. And it did remind me of a funny line. Every once in a while, Lynette reminds me of a funny line I say to her, usually when I'm asleep or something. Like one time she woke me up in the middle of the night and she said, you're snoring. And I went, good. It means I was sleeping.
That's how I know I'm sleeping.
Yeah, it's how I know I'm sleeping. And I just went back to bed.
Good.
She once said, why do you have to pee where I brush my teeth? And I said, why do you have to brush your teeth where I pee?
Touche.
Fair.
It's fair. It's a very it's fair awesome. Statement.
Yeah. Existential.
Now we have two sinks. So
anyway, long story short, we have two sinks.
We hopped on the catamaran and went out, and Howie did not go in the water once again. And Howie's funny.
Howie, did he lube up the beard just in case?
Howie did not have the beard. He did not have the beard butter for the mask. Howie and his wife, Terry, it's funny. All they do is pay for everything. They don't actually swim or do anything else. So they don't drink. They don't swim. They don't do anything. They just pay for everything, and everyone else has
a good
time.
They pay for a boozy catamaran ride.
Right. So we all had a great time.
God, look at that thing. That's nice.
Oh, we're looking at pictures of it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some below deck shit.
Yeah, we're down below deck. It was, it's awesome.
And the kids went nuts.
It's always awesome. Yeah, the kids go nuts. It's also...
Sal's on his phone.
I wonder how he had to do his, like, NFL picks and stuff.
Yeah.
Sunblock has basically destroyed all warm weather family vacations, mm-hmm. because every single discussion is just an argument about sunblock. Like, sweetie, did you put this in? No, you have to reapply. Yeah, you've been
in the
pool for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You have to I can see the back of your ears. Come here. Come here. No. No. Well, then you didn't do a very good job. You did not. No. Get your... Tell your sister... Okay, it's like this big, it literally is some weird kind of bone of contention that just follows you everywhere. Where's the sunblock? Who's got the sunblock? You didn't bring it, no, you didn't put it on in the room. You put it on down, it's like a never-ending argument about sunblock.
Have you ever posited the strategy of just letting them burn? Because the reason I'm diligent about putting sunblock on is because I've had horrible sunburns. And that's a rite of passage. When you're a kid, you get a horrible sunburn, you're like, oh, never again.
But they got another 8 days in Hawaii with a lobster
That's
kid.
How you learn!
Well,
I posit the strategy of letting everyone fucking do everything all the time, but I'm a one-man crusade for letting everyone learn.
I feel like certain things you have to go through as a young person in order to learn the lesson of, oh, don't do that again. Don't let your phone get turned off. I guess I'll pay my bill.
You eat dinner. It's not so much our kids, but other kids on the trip and stuff. And it's a never-ending course of like, are you hungry? Then you got to eat. Well, what do you want? You want grilled cheese?
Oh,
okay, then what do you want? Fry? Okay, what do you want? And I just want to stand up and go, they're not hungry. Don't eat. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Yep.
Don't eat. Don't eat. here's the deal.
They have a big
no
breakfast.
Ordering room service when we get back to the room.
Yeah.
We're at a restaurant.
This
order anything you want in the restaurant and eat it. The fucking thing of, like, the parents, like, they hover over and they're like, well, let me cut it up. Okay, what do you want? Okay, well, tell you. You have to say what you want if you want it. It's like, just order. They eat or they don't eat or they don't order or whatever. It's a menu. The food will be brought. You will eat. If you don't eat, I'm assuming you're not hungry. Will you get hungry later? Possibly. Then you'll learn the next night that you should fucking eat during dinner time.
This is a cycle that generally takes care of itself. You'll wake up very hungry for breakfast.
Also, it doesn't matter physiologically if you miss a meal. Your body can go 3 days without eating. It really can. This insane, I heard it times 1,000, every mom just like, argue, just begging, like, come on, no, I have that, no, eat, no, what do you want, no, let me cut it up, no, eat, and the kid's like, mm. And of course the kid learns immediately, like, I don't have to do anything,
yeah.
I'll just sit back, fold my arm,
let him fuss,
dance,
me.
Monkey, everyone dance. Everyone dance, kid learns nothing, reinforces bad behavior, kid gets worse, parents overcompensate, parents get worse, just let him fucking eat, or not, and they'll just finish, and then breakfast will come around. And they'll be extra hungry for breakfast, like Brian says, or not.
Or not.
It doesn't matter.
At
they'll
some
eat
point,
when they're hungry.
It'll resolve itself.
Yes.
You know what I just thought of? Are the days, I took this for granted because this was how it was when we were kids. Are the days of dinner is what you don't want? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I hate that. Oh, well, I guess that's what's for dinner. Are those days over? Like the days of
with Grubhub, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it was, are those days behind us?
You begrudgingly eat it and look forward to the next night's dinner. You don't go, well, I'm going to get Taco Bell in an hour. It's going to matter.
Choke down whatever it is.
I must say, as I think about, you know, the new year and what I'd like to accomplish and just sort of where we're at as a society and as individuals. And also, as you, like, you know, put the earbuds in and take lots of long solo walks around down the beach in Maui and watch the sunset and just do some thinking on life. You can talk about a million different sort of ancillary problems and situations, but as I talk about all sort of from a sociological standpoint, sort of all roads just sort of lead to the family. You know, you talk about, well, crime and drug addiction and truancy and vagrancy and homelessness. Okay, yeah, but it all kind of...
The root system.
It all goes from the hub and then the spokes go out to all the things we don't want. when it comes to life, delayed gratification, not getting what you want all the time, being told no, and being able to sort of inflict discomfort on yourself.
What are you talking about?
Are all the keys in terms of happiness. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about happiness. I'm not talking about, well, be super uncomfortable and then be successful in business. I'm talking about be uncomfortable and then be happy. Just happy. And this thing that all the parents are doing now, which is, you know what would make my kid the happiest? Is if I did the most things to make them happy as humanly possible and immediately, is the exact opposite of what they need. And it's not avoidable. It's totally avoidable, obviously. It's not avoidable in my tax bracket as long as women are running the show, because they hear a kid is hungry or they see a kid's not eating and they snap into action.
Right.
The action they snap into... I'm going to give a sniff.
All right. Pre-announced sniff.
When you see a guy on the football field or a guy on a motorcycle go flying over the handlebars or get blown up by DB and turn around and land on his head, your reaction is his best buddy who's behind him on the motorcycle or his beloved teammate is to run up to him, grab him, try to like get him up onto his feet.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Try to get him, wake him into consciousness. That's our reaction. Our instinct is like, go grab him, get him up on his feet.
Put him back to where he was.
Get him moving. Yeah.
Right.
You know, let him walk it off or get him sitting up or whatever. But the professionals would say, don't touch him. Mm-hmm. Let him there. Get the wagon out. Get the stretcher out.
Don't move his neck.
Stabilize
right,
his
right,
neck.
Right.
Don't touch him. Don't start pumping
Jostling.
His arm. Don't give him a shot of brandy. Don't start slapping him in the face. Wake up. No. Don't do any of that shit. Don't do any of it. Well, it's basically what you have to do with your kids if you want them to turn into happy, decent, productive souls, which is, I don't want to eat. Good. No food. Mm-hmm. Don't eat.
You don't have to eat.
Go take care of it. The adults are going to be talking over here.
Yep.
You're living in a restaurant on top of a buffet. There's a million things. If you want to go eat it, eat it. If you don't, then don't.
Yeah.
And we'll be over here. There'll be no room service. And then we'll be here tomorrow morning. And you can decide if you're hungry then. But your impulse is to rush up because they treat it like a guy got into a horrible motorcycle accident and gather around and go, what's wrong? What can we do? Well, the kid learns that. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was talking about this just recently, which is Natalia, who got a little more in her than Sonny does in that department. We used to go on these trips like back in the day. And as I would lament to you guys, you'd get the $100 gift certificate at the buffet that mm-hmm. you couldn't see the other end of with the waffle maker. And the omelet maker.
The carving station.
Everything was there. And then Natalia would announce, I want chocolate chip pancakes. And then Lynette would grab, hey, waitress. And she'd start pointing at the menu. I go, no menu. We're all going to the buffet. Yep. And then she'd go, but she wants a chocolate chip. And I go,
And what?
I don't
sure
care.
She does.
Go over there. Go get some pancakes. To go take a chocolate chip cookie, bust it up, take all the nuggets out of it, and mash it into the fucking pancakes. I don't care. And then as I was saying that, Lynette was like waving the waitress over to the table. I was like, no, don't order. Now, here's the thing, everybody. Everyone goes, oh, old man Caroli, so cheap. Doesn't pay
$7. I don't think it has a lot to do with cheap.
Doesn't pay the money. No. I don't want to live in a world where there's a huge buffet and the kids got their face buried in the menu. Now, the buffet happens to be comped and the pancakes aren't. I would pay $7 to put the menu down and go to the buffet versus the $7 for the thing. Parents, people, school teachers, coaches, counselors, please understand, these are kids. These are young people. They're essentially testing you, and they're mm-hmm. looking yep. for you to intervene. And you doting on them is not what they need. It does not help them, and it exacerbates mm-hmm. the behavior that you would like to stop. So I am now sort of turning into hard-ass dad.
Where have you been?
Just in time.
I'm trying to turn into hard-ass dad.
How's this going to turn out?
I got Lynette to turn the corner a little. It's virtually impossible when you're saying no, and your wife is flagging down a waitress right. who's walking over with wanting to order something. It's hard to interrupt that.
Is she waving the gift shop champagne at the waiter?
So you do realize, though, with the kids these days, the parents just, I mean, I see it with our families. I see it at the pool. I see it everywhere. It's just, they just hover around the kids. What do you need? And it's like these like insane conversations. Like we had a $100 day buffet or whatever it was. We'd all finish breakfast at like 10:30 in the morning. I mean, omelet bar, everything you could eat. We'd head down to the pool. And at 11:40, Natalia's like, I want to order lunch. I'd go, it's been an hour and 4 minutes. No ordering lunch. Why not? I'd go, no. And then someone would go, sweetie, you hungry? And I'd go, no. Now, what would you guys do? So on one hand, you can go, well. And ultimately, I just have a cocktail and walk to the beach. But
yeah, that's what
I just say, like, not till afternoon. We got to get till noon.
Yeah.
We ate a huge buffet an hour and 40 minutes ago.
Criticizing someone's parenting style is the worst thing you can do, but you got to present a united front, man. You got to be on the same page. I know that's maybe a bridge too far sometimes, but you got to be on the same page. Because they can't be like, dad says no chocolate chips. Let me go to mom and see what she says. You know, mom says no this. I'm going to dad and see what he says.
Right. And I'm going to double down on that and say not only united front, but now that we have a little one and that this is all very new to me and I'm sort of learning quickly, united front, super, super calm. take all of the energy and emotion out of it and going, God damn it, you
no
said.
Chips. No
yeah,
chips.
It's all very well. This no is what we're having. This is what we're having for dinner, and this is what we're offering tonight. And you're welcome to try it, and you're welcome to go
well,
to your
that's,
room. And
that's again, that. That's the other thing, which is this notion of, again, when dinner's presented, it's always a good dinner. So it's like, all right, eat it or don't eat it. I don't care. I know if you're hungry, you'll eat it. You're not allergic to anything, and everything's fantastic. I know you may not be in the mood with whatever blue apron offering Olga whipped up tonight, but tough shit. Eat it or if not, or don't eat it.
Yeah, that's what's for dinner.
Yeah, this is what we're offering.
Yes, yes. It's a weird time that we're living in, because here's the thing, everybody, and we are not prepared for this, and this is part of the New Year's deal that everyone is going to have to sort of do to themselves. And I think we were discussing it last year. But we are wired for easy.
Of course.
Progression. Yeah. We want to go progression. Nobody wants to go out and hunt. We want a deli counter. And then the deli counter goes from, well, you bring the meat to the house, and now it's you bring the meat to the house and you cook it.
Yeah.
And we're just wired to go that way.
Path of least resistance.
And I think we all got it from a physical standpoint. There's no more chasing, hunting, chopping wood, women carrying gourds full of water on their head for 12 miles every day and going down to the river and beating stuff.
Water is piped into your home.
The physicality part of life we got. So now we understand, hey, man, go buy a gym membership. I'd love to find early man and explain to them the gym membership, just the treadmill, just the Exercycle, just the rowing machine. You're rowing, but before you'd get to another island so you could get the food or something or fish or anything. Now we're just sitting
in
place.
Now you take your powered carriage to the rowing
to
machine.
To check the traps.
Right, right. So, all right. But we've all wrapped our minds around the fact that since nobody has a job where they're cutting logs down all day or going with gourds on their head, then we must go to the gym. We must break a sweat. We must simulate this. Well, everybody, there's a new and more important version of this, and that is the digital version of this. Mm-hmm. You must get your face out of your phone. You must get your face off your computer. Mm-hmm. You must, even though the food can be brought to your house, and as many people say, oh, by the time you go out and buy everything, it's cheaper just to call Grubhub and have them bring it. It is. It's cheaper and it's easier. Now, don't do it. That's what I'm saying to everyone. And you'll have to. Everyone's going to be in charge. There's no laws. And sadly, little judgment. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to impose this on yourself.
Yep. I'm starting to say the phrase that would drive me into an apoplectic rage as a little kid. And now I fully support it. And I say it almost every night. I want Burger King. I want Taco Bell. I go, there's food at home. We have food at home.
There you go.
Thanks, Mom.
I have embraced that shit like you have no idea.
So as I think about the new year and I have my resolution, some of them, I want to hear yours as well. And as I think about really sort of the essence and the key of life, please, because of where we're at, In our world, and this is not a socioeconomic thing, poor people have to worry about the scourge of fast food and having their face buried in a screen even more so than people of means. I was in Maui. I was snorkeling on a daily basis. I was floating out in this beautiful azure sea with 80-degree water and chasing sea turtles around.
It's azure.
Azure. You got a text from your grandmother.
I did.
And I was and she said it was a tortoise, that's by right. the way. It wasn't a turtle.
It's a tortoise.
And I was just swimming around like that. And we had, and I was just thinking about life and how it all works. And I really realized it all distills down to inflicting some uncomfort, self-imposed discomfort on yourself. So got back. My pool was covered up. There was a windstorm. There's like leaves all over the place. I got up this morning. We went to bed. I went to bed at like 2:30. I got up at 8:45. I had to go look at the new house, but I was like kind of a little hungover, a little tired, a little whatever. And I looked out the backyard and I saw the swimming pool. And I was like, I looked at the temperature.
It's mocking me. It's winking at me.
It was 46 degrees outside. And I was like, God, I just got so used to doing that, chasing those turtles out in the
82
bay.
82 degrees.
Floating out there. And I went, fuck it. Go get in that pool. And I just opened the cover 3 foot enough and just went in the fucking deep end. The water was 46 degrees or something. And I just dunked myself. I just dunked myself in the pool. And I just thought, hey, you got it. You got to get to it. You got to get to it. That's it. That's it. It's now there because the part where life did that to you is now gone. Yeah, it's all self-imposed. That's basically what I've figured out. I want to hear about what you guys did. I want to hear New Year's rezos. I'll give you mine as well. First, I'll tell you about Blue Chew at bluechew.com. Like having sex?
Yes.
Thank you. Then bluechew.com. It's a
what Gina said.
It's a little performance enhancement for bedroom. It's the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, cheaper than Viagra and Cialis, and it works faster than pills. It works twice as fast. You can take it on a full or empty stomach as well. Only takes a few minutes to fill out a form online. No doctor visit, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Ships directly to your door in discreet packaging and made in the USA. This is not so much for guys who are having difficulty in the bedroom, but guys who'd like to up their game in the bedroom and get a little more out of life. Blue Chew, confidence in the bed every time. Partner will love it. Chew it and do it, everybody. It is Blue Chew, again, made in the United States. Shows up in discreet packaging. It's Blue Chew, right, Dawson?
Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code Adam. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Adam.
All right, so Gina Grad, New Year's, rezos, thoughts?
Yeah. Had a great break. We went to Solvang and fed the ostriches and had an emergency CAT scan, by the way. That was scary over at Cedars. I'm fine. They thought I might have lymphoma, and I don't. I'm totally fine. All the coughing and the hacking, I wrote an apology to all Corolla show listeners once I got this figured out. I just got bad.
Corolla show cast members? I get an apology.
Fuck you guys.
I strapped my ear.
I hadn't been able to control it. I hadn't. So I went to a pulmonologist because Dr. Drew yelled at me. And I just have bad asthma, and it's all on the mend, and I feel much better. So got to walk every day. 3.5 miles, and I feel so much better. That's one of my resolutions every single day. I love it. I love my neighborhood. That was a big part of it. And New Year's, had a really super fun dinner party with friends and just had a nice, relaxing evening. The resolutions, with the asthma and all the bullshit, now I live so far from my gym, I think I'm just going to go back to walking. I'm not going to worry about, you know, the steps and the soul cycle and all that shit right now. I love walking outside. I love listening to my podcast. I love listening to stand-up comedy. And that's a really good time for me to do that. So every day.
I love it. I can't remember if we got into it in the news or whatever it was. I've always said classical music and walks, walk, walk, walk. I've just known it. And then somebody tweeted me a whole article on walk therapy and how they're now using walk therapy. And of course, that is a very solid, simple, basic, and extraordinarily helpful, but unglamorous New Year's
thankless
resolution, which is just walk, just take a walk every day.
It feels so good. And I'm a Valley girl now, and I'm loving it. I really love the neighborhoods over there, and I'm not a big music person. I don't know why, but I like listening to stand up, and it's just, I like to laugh, and I like to think, and I like to come up with new ideas. And so that's a big one.
Fucking vows. Fuck you, you fucking vows. Go home, you fucking vows.
The other one I've been working on our whole break, and I'm really excited about. I'm going to try my best to start a new food blog. And I've come up with a bunch of different recipes and started setting that up with a couple of domain names and having a lot of fun ordering all the right stuff, and would love suggestions from people who do that. Because that's something that I've realized. I Love it. I love cooking. I love coming up with new recipes. I love, you know, trying to figure out how to replace stuff and make it NSNG. I spent so much time during the break doing that. So my goals are simple this year. It's really continue to embrace the cooking and the healthy lifestyle that I've frankly fallen off with at the second half of this year, between the broken foot and all the bullshit and the asthma and just being lazy and just being an asshole. So it's time to kind of tighten all that up, and I feel really good about it. And so I'm gonna work on those.
Brian,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Same as Gina.
That was easy.
I'm Ann walking. Walking, I didn't even say out loud, but I was thinking it the whole time because I was walking all over Maui. Yes.
Since last we talked, the day of our party, the very next day, I went to Lowry's with Christy for our annual date. Third time we went to Lowry's this holiday season.
Nice.
It was wonderful. Prime rib, of course. Prime rib stuffed olives. I believe there's a picture.
We can picture it.
But prime rib stuffed olives in the martini, just fantastic. Third time, that'll lead me into one of my resolutions, because there was a lot of indulgence. We were traveling and or drinking almost every day of our vacation. And yeah, not because we're booze hounds, just that there was something to celebrate or some party or something. We went to the next day, went to the Newport Beach boat parade. You know, the boat parade they do around Newport Beach where the boats go.
Yeah.
They all got decked out, you know, all Christmas lights and stuff.
We did the Marina Del Rey one. So fun.
It's awesome. It was so much fun. Tessa was so excited because we had another couple friend down with their two little kids, and she totally skipped her nap. She's too excited, you know, too much going on. Mm-hmm. And so by the time the boat parade started, Tessa could not be moved. She had fallen asleep and could not be. She was like Han Solo in Carbonite. Look, I have a picture right there. That's her arms over. Looks like she's been knocked out on the football field.
Yes.
Like her arms are over.
Don't try to move her. Just call for the gurney.
We tried to move her. She wouldn't wake up. So we just lied her down on the wagon and just rolled her around. And we enjoyed the boat parade, and she did not. And then the next day was a John Legend concert. Went to the John Legend Christmas concert downtown. It was such a great show. I'd never seen him before.
I could imagine.
The guy's an incredible talent. I mean,
he is.
He did a few songs solo just on the piano. He did a few songs with the full band, the backup singers, the horn section.
Who got those tickets?
Christy's mom. It was a Christmas gift.
Jesus
and so
Christ.
Her parents and me and Christy went to...
Everyone with their fucking in-laws getting them stuff. And I know, I just paid for everything. We go to Hawaii. If I don't pay for anything, we don't go to Hawaii.
Well, I paid for dinner. We went to Fleming's beforehand. Got recognized by a fan, but I didn't know it until later when he tweeted me. He's like, hey, were you just at Fleming's? I'm like, yep, say hi next time. By all means.
So I can throw a drink in your face.
Exactly. You say, not when I'm with my family. And then we did our Christmas Eve. I don't know if you guys got the picture off or the video off of what I sent you, but check this out. A Christmas Eve, we made cookies for Santa with Tessa, because she's now just coming online just enough to where she's like getting into like making cookies, and they'll have to put out for Santa, and she's decorating them. And
how many of Santa's cookies did she eat?
Not very many. She licked a lot of frosting.
Sure.
She licked a lot of frosting.
Okay.
But she's like just coming online now.
It's nice.
It's awesome. And I realize now, she's putting, just dousing the frosting on. Well, I realize now this is a special time for me and also for her, because she's at that age now where, number one, we can rewrap birthday presents and give them to her for Christmas, which we did. And
genius.
She loved it. She loved it. Well, she's 2 and 3 months. So,
she didn't
know.
So good.
She had no worries, she had a recollection. And we can shop right in front of her. Like, we take her to the Disney store, and it's like, that's a great shirt. I'll just put that away for Christmas.
Hey, I have a Santa question for you guys.
Please.
This was a big one this year. Sorry to interrupt, but this is curious. When your kids were little, Adam, and for you, I guess now and in the next year or two, do you tell them that all of their presents are from Santa?
No.
I think we did, and then once in a while you go, oh, that one's from Uncle Jimmy, and then this one's from Santa, and there would be that
you
one from mom
up.
And dad.
I'm Jewish, so I didn't know what to do, so maybe I'm an asshole for doing this, but I suggested this year, and it went over well. I said to my boyfriend, you know what? You work really hard. Really hard to come up with all this stuff and all these great presents, and you know, we spend all this money and you work hard. So what we did this year was the big ticket present that was from Santa. Everything else from Dad.
There you go. Oh. That's smart. You got to mix up, because otherwise the kid gets suspicious. You're like, why didn't mom and dad get me anything?
Yeah, and he loves the big Santa. You know, that's the grand prize.
I've ever thought about it. I'm just like, here's the fucking money.
Here's the money.
I think it's important. And again, I've never celebrated Christmas, and maybe I'm an asshole, but I thought it was important that Dad worked really hard for this.
I agree.
Yeah, no, it's a good thought.
All right. Continue.
New Year's Rezzo, Brian.
Then came Christmas, and we also went to Solvang afterwards for an annual trip. That leads me into my resolutions. Number one, boring one, but this year I don't do a good job of focusing on my career outside of the show. I want to focus on advancing, you know, my career outside of the show, outside of the show, doing things to sort of just, you know, taking advantage of things that I should be taking advantage of. Hopefully have some things to announce, some very cool projects that are sort of on the front and back burner this year. So that's a boring one, but it's something I should focus more on. I'm committed to doing that this year.
It's not boring because we talk about this on the show all the time when you say, you know, we have these opportunities and we have this cool platform and we have extra time. So what the hell are we doing with it? And I think Brian and I are kind of in that mode right now. Like, yeah, we got to make the most while the sun's shining.
Well put.
Well, I you know, as the great Mike August always says, you have to gig off your stuff. Now, gigging used to mean for me, as Mr. Burcham and Jimmy Kimmel, the sports guys, we would be at Big O Tire Center in Burbank on Saturday signing autographs and taking pictures, and we get $300. But there's a version now, I believe, that everybody needs to do, no matter what bracket you're in or where you're at, which is figure out what your sort of your job is. You have your job. And then you think, well, what's the ancillary stuff? What can lead to other monetary rewards or possible positions and then monetary whatever? This is a thing that I think almost everyone is going to – I think you're going to have to approach life this way from this day forth. I mean, it used to just be work at the postal
sorting
service
and
you just work at GM for 50 years. And there's really not that anymore. There's a version of this that could be I sell tchotchkes on eBay or whatever. Yeah. But everyone's going to have – or I drive – the amount of people like the guy – who drove us to the airport in Maui. He's like, oh, I work for the Four Seasons, and I work as a valet at the Four Seasons, but I do my little side hustle over here. Like, there is going to be that side hustle, and the notion, which is, I think, and it's the wrong mode to be in, which is, I'm going to go find the boss, I'm going to get more money out of the boss. That's fine, and that'll work, but it's limited. It's incremental.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you work for the DMV or you work for me.
There's a ceiling.
You can get little bits and pieces, but you're not going to get where you want to be. And I don't think anyone is – in a way, I think people think, well, now it's a new world order or something. But when I met Jimmy Kimmel, it's exactly what he did, exactly what I did. I worked for the radio station. I worked for free. Then I got $50 a bit. Then him and I sort of planned our own separate thing. Then I went off and did Loveline. He did Win Ben Stein's Money, but we would get together, talk about the shows we wanted to do. Eventually, we got The Man Show, which then gave way to Crank Anchors and other projects and stuff like that. But it was always like, I'm doing Loveline at night. He's doing Win Ben Stein's Money during the day. I'm doing MTV's Loveline. We're getting together in the evenings and working on our scripts for blah, blah, blah. I'm working on side books and side projects and side everything. I do it at a slightly different level now, but it's always – the rules are all the same. The constructs the same. So everyone should sort of think about what their version of that is. And it's not a showbiz thing. Again, it's making tchotchkes and selling them on eBay or whatever your version of that is now.
Okay,
yes.
So speaking of which, what this is partially inspired by was, so for Christmas, I don't know if Sonny showed you or not, but as a gift to all of my coworkers here and also to Sonny, I got him these wonderful socks.
Yes.
They were a hit.
They were a huge hit.
People online, I posted a picture of them. People really enjoyed those socks. And they're like, where can we get those? And of course, I'm the idiot. I'm like, I probably should have thought of this and like made them available for sale. This is just a gift. I went up, I paid for myself, and I got them for my coworkers.
Like a chump.
But like now, I'm having a conversation with the sock company next week, and we're gonna maybe make them for sale. You know, people want them. There might be 10 people out there who want them.
You, my friend, are
gonna
join
the number of people.
Greats like Rob Kardashian, who had his own sock company as well.
Titans of industry.
That's right. All of us.
So
that's the. Boring.
Your socks are a big hit in our house.
Perfect example. And a good example.
Okay, so that's the boring one. Second one, I was inspired. Do you remember a couple years ago when your New Year's resolution was for everyone else to get their shit together?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one.
It's quietly always. Okay, it's a perennial for
me.
Just
yeah.
It's a platform. Mm-hmm. My resolution for everyone else, listen up, everyone, especially if you're in the news or media. Mm. This has bothered me for a long time. It finally just reached a fever pitch where I tweeted very angrily about this. I said, listen. If so, from now, 2019, here's your resolution. I made it for you. If someone lies, like let's just say a lie, please call it a lie. Don't say it's a mistruth. Don't say it's a misleading statement or it's a false statement or misleading. And for God's sake, don't infantilize it by saying, oh, we give it 4 Pinocchios or we rated it pants on fire. Right. It's not children. These are people who are lying to you. Liars benefit, you know what, from not being called liars. Call them liars to their face. If someone's lying to you, whatever it is, you're lying. That's it.
I like that. I will go for that. And I'll also go for when you couch the question, instead of some would say your mishandling of the account, just say, I am a journalist.
Yes. That's why you study this.
I'm not a corkboard at a coin-op fucking laundry. I'm a journalist. So I'm allowed to say your mishandling of the whatever account led to many job layoffs or whatever because I'm a journalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't say some would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say.
How about that?
That's good.
How about I heard from some and now I'm saying. I'll even accept that.
Well put.
But don't do like someone else said this.
Pass the buck. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just a conduit.
Right.
I like that.
Okay, finally, my fun one. And hopefully, if you guys want to join me on this, I am, after all the Lowry's trips and all the drinking and everything, you know, people do sober January, you know what I mean? They go try and go without it. I'm not really interested in that because I have things to do, I have a life to lead. But I remember thinking, like, on New Year's Day, I'm like, Christ, I could really... I have things to do. I have things to drink.
I'm with you.
I remember on New Year's Day just thinking, oh, man, I've had so much steak and wine. All I want is a salad. Ooh. No, all I want is soup. No, here's what I'm going to do. For the entire month of January, every day, I will have at least one salad or a serving of soup. I call it my super duper super salad challenge. And I challenge all of you to join me in my super duper super salad challenge.
And please, there's a lot of people that are like multitasking. They're listening right now with one ear. They're yelling at their kids with the other side of their mouth. I know how everyone's distracted and everyone's on their device and everyone's something. I don't want to see a bunch of videos of you dumping scalding hot soup on top of the head of your kid out in the yard.
Thank you
for
saying
that. And him screaming, Mommy, why?
I should have
said
that. And
Brian said to do it.
Thanks for catching me on that.
Shoving carrots up your roommate's ass.
That's right.
That's okay. No. But yes, if you want salad or soup is not a hard thing to mix into your diet once a day. I'm going to do my best for 31 days to do salad. I've already done two soups.
And they were?
One was a chicken noodle, one was vegetable.
I like it. You're a hero, Frank.
On resolution.
I'll keep y'all posted.
I like it. And I think we all have those things because everyone's overindulging and you're like, oh, no more. And
this is a way to keep me, you know, a little more towards the straight and narrow.
I agree.
As opposed to just, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to commit to eating these things.
All right.
I'll tell you about mine in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about MedMen. Ooh, healthy new year. Inside every MedMen is a way to meet more of your 2019 resolutions. Looking to get fit, trying energizing and edibles. They have energizing edibles before you take a run. Hit a little of that. Get a little more scooch in you. And some soothing CBD pain stick afterward, if you like. Also, resolve to relax a little more and ease that anxiety with premium products from MedMen. Visit a store near you. Talk to their knowledgeable in-store team, including in-house pharmacists at medical stores. They'll make sure you find the product you need. Easy to understand instructions for using it. It's all there. Just go to MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you at MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
MedMen's resolution for 2019, helping to drop the labels for cannabis users. Use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Visit a MedMen today. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
I failed miserably in my last year's Dress for Success.
Oh, yeah, I started.
I was out about 2 days, 3 days in. Damn. I realized that
it's important to have attainable goals.
I do way too much working on houses and working on cars before I come in and do this podcast, and I just couldn't pull off my fake, even the clip-on tie. I couldn't do. I found the jeans or the slacks just too tough to
too
do.
Too restricting.
Binding.
Too restricting. Well, I do. I have so many physical, meaning home improvement, warehouse, automotive projects that I almost always tend to before I come here. Mm-hmm. That it would always involve getting change, and then
it
became
be silly
too lazy
to dress nicely for that kind of thing.
It would. Either way, I failed miserably on my my last year's resolution. This year, came up with one. I think you guys will find it interesting. Besides all the general, you know, let's eat a little better, let's walk a little more,
let's get a little more exercise.
Super salad,
and little stupid little things like I should go to bed a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And thus wake up a little early. You leave me alone, I'll go to bed at 12:30 and get up at like 8:30. Yeah. And I'd rather be an 11 o'clock to 7 guy. But either way, stuff like that. Couple things. One, a little show busy and interesting. I'll keep you guys abreast of. The other, just basic. Posture. Having better posture.
That's good.
I have bad posture.
Me too.
My family has bad posture. Every time somebody explains to me what good posture is, because I come from a fucking horrible family, I feel like, well, it looks like you're showing off.
That's not for me.
They're always like, put your chest out, roll your shoulders back, and pull your shoulders back, and put your chin out. It's like, oh, but I don't look like I feel like a piece of shit then. And they're like, no, but that's how you should stand. You should pull your shoulders back and bring your chest
your
up and breastbone up and put your head back. And but people think I like myself.
That's the risk.
But what happens? That's fine when I'm alone, like in the shower or something. What if I enter a room with other people and people think I have dignity and self-respect? Is that what you want? Yeah.
First, I do it alone. Next thing you know, I'm in the car. But someone catches a look at me.
But my mom has horrible posture. She's all bent over now. My dad has always had horrible posture. I have bad posture. Posture is a sort of a combination of like, well, what's your shape, God-given shape, versus how do you feel about yourself? And I realize I'm always just kind of rolled over and hunched back. And I said, put your chest out. Pull your shoulders back a little bit. And get over the fact that other people think maybe you think you're good.
God forbid.
Right. Just pull your shoulders back and tick your breastbone out a little bit. So and then when they talk about it, like I don't like getting all crystal rubbing on it, but they go, yeah, it opens you up, you breathe better, it's a whatever. So I thought, have better posture.
You
I like
know,
that. It's a simple
have,
thing.
They have not only those little like restraints you can put yourself in that under your clothes, but they also have little vibrating things that hook to your phone that if you start to hunch over, it'll vibrate
to
remind you to put yourself back up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Chris can find it. They're on Amazon. Yeah. I looked into it.
How long before
terrible.
Those find their way to your coos?
Well, look, I can always deduct 12 to 15 pounds if I just got rid of my boobs. So
no.
I'm constantly being
watch
pulled.
Your mouth.
Hold forward. So I look into this stuff constantly.
Well I'm know that the Adam's wearing one.
I'm interested in this. So I thought better posture.
That's good.
Good posture. We all need it now because everyone's buried in their phone and they're buried in their laptop. They're all buried in their devices. And they're all just rolled over and going forward. You need to pull it back. And it's also the thing about posture, and I'll equate this to folks who talk about food and being addicted to food, where they go, well, of course, you can get off heroin, you can get off booze, you can get off cigarettes, but you can't get off food. You have to eat every day, you know? And you go, okay, I get it. You're a chocoholic and whatnot, but just eat a little better then, but whatever. They make that. But if you think about making a New Year's resolution, and your New Year's resolution is, I want to travel more, or I want to have more good times with my son who lives with his stepdad and his my ex-wife, and they're in Florida or whatever. It's like, that's fine. That just means you have to schedule two or three things a year.
Mm-hmm.
If you work on posture, that is all day, every day. That is you and your New Year's resolution all day, every day. And you can go, well, booze, or I'm not going to booze. It's like, all right, but I'm not thinking about drinking at noon. I might be thinking about drinking at 10 o'clock right. at night, in which case I'll have to deal with it. But it's not when I get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And it's not the walk to the car. Like this,
in which case it would be much more than a New Year's resolution.
Right. In this situation, if you think about your posture, it's sort of a New Year's resolution that you have to live weekends and holidays mm-hmm. and every day, all day, as long as you're awake. And you must be conscious of it. And then it must make you conscious of your New Year's resolution. Right. Again, if your New Year's resolution is to travel more, then you go ahead and book your spring break vacation to Maui, and then it's on the calendar, and then we can go back to doing whatever I was doing up until then. So posture's an interesting one. And the other one I had was something I've never done before, but I always sit around and I listen to comedians, and the comedians are always talking about working out, going to the ice house, going to the comedy store, and working out, doing a set over this place, and then moving over to that place, and
dropping
going over to that
cellar.
Place, and dropping into the cellar, and doing a set. And I thought to myself, I never done that. I always just, book some theater somewhere, and I'll just show up.
I just book arenas like a lazy asshole.
some theaters, but I just show up, and I'm like, wouldn't it be cool to have a comedy club and to work out a little bit, 20 minutes at a time, not 90 minutes or whatever. And I thought, I got a few Flappers is nearby, Ice House is nearby. Yep. How about going out once a week and doing 20 minutes
and
just working it out, just doing what everyone else does except
get
for
your bucks
lip. Get my bucks lip and go working it out. So
fantastic.
Those are two.
Now, wait, will those be premeditated and we'll know, or you're just going to pop in like Chris Rock does?
I don't want to disappoint people. So I'm going to talk to Mike August. I'm going to figure out how it works, but I would love to get a regular Thursday night, whatever, however it works. I'll try to figure that out.
Awesome.
So those are my two.
I was saying you should talk to Joe Coy because he knows all that stuff too.
Oh, okay.
What does he know?
I'll talk to Joe Coy.
Do anything?
Two, yes. I know. I should talk to everyone. And everyone talk to everyone because that was my first thought. So I'll talk to some of my comedian friends who go work out and go do this stuff.
I love that.
And and figure it out. With that in mind, Irvine Improv, January 24th, based cable commentary. David Zucker, the guy who did Airplane, Naked Gun, all that. We're going to do his movie.
Working on material, but none of these involve material.
No.
Well, these were already on the books.
Connecticut, Foxwoods. I will be doing material there. Yeah. That'll be February 8th, and then the Boston Wilbur Theater, February 9th. We'll do Adam Carolla's Unprepared, but I will be doing material probably the first half hour or so.
Well, this is material. It's just not material you can prep in advance.
Yes. There you go. All right. What do we got here? We got a break, and then we'll stay the union, then we'll do the news, and we'll do that right after this.
Spend Tuesdays with Dr. Drill.
Hey, let's suggest you listen to the Dr. Drew podcast. It comes out every Tuesday, and it is my chance to – I love doing it. It's my chance to really dig into people and find out what makes them tick, what's going on. It's a long form where we can get into material and topics that I just can't get into anywhere else, and it's a privilege to be able to – spend that time really getting in deep. So please join me on the Dr. Drew Podcast.
The Dr. Drew Podcast, every Tuesday on Corolla Digital and Podcast One.